Let's head over to Austin. State Senator Charles Swartner joins us this morning. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Good morning, Scott. I'm doing great.
Let's talk first about a really revolutionary idea that you are driving, the idea of telemedicine. Explain that, if you would, and where we are with that in the state of Texas now.
Well, we're behind the curve, really, regarding telemedicine. There are other states that have enacted various statutes and laws that concern telemedicine. It's really a tool to increase access and expand care, especially in rural areas. And, you know, Texas is a very large state, to especially such as psychiatry and other specialties that are potentially needed in these rural areas, but that can't support a specialist that actually lives and resides there. But the bottom line with telemedicine is that we need to maintain the standard of care. There shouldn't be two standards, one when you see a physician or a provider in person, and another one when you avail yourself of telemedicine services that you do through telephone as well as through video means, or what they call store and forward technology, in which images are taken and then downloaded and then uploaded again at the telemedicine service provider's site.
Now, this has been done in Texas from time, but we've had this technology for a while in Texas, so what is this legislation different? How is this different?
Well, we've had the technology in our correctional managed care with our prisoners mm-hmm. in our state prisons. In fact, I actually participated when I was in residency at UTMB mm-hmm. Doing telemedicine to various prison units across the state of Texas. So, yes, it's been around for a long time. It's been, over the last 10 years, has really taken root and been a innovative way of delivering care. But again, my baseline is that we need to maintain patient safety and maintain the standard of care. I'm very proud to report that all sides, the companies that are providing this service, the provider groups, the state of Texas through the medical board, have all come together and I think have agreed upon certain principles, and I really hope that we can get a bill passed that allows for the expansion of telemedicine in an appropriate manner across the state of Texas.
Now, tell me how medication would be dispensed in a case like this.
Well, the way I envision, I don't think telemedicine is appropriate yet for the prescription of narcotic medications, controlled substances. But as far as certain types of medications to treat certain ailments, I think that should be available.
Now, there's been a time when you had to have a healthcare professional with you as you spoke to the doctor. Is that
correct? That's right, as a presenter. Okay. Like a nurse, for instance, or an LVN that was standing right by that patient and helping with the examination and presentation of that patient and their patient's physical exam and symptoms while speaking to a physician or nurse practitioner in a remote site. So that wouldn't be required. You know, most people are very busy. Mm-hmm. This also helps with convenience, obviously. Mm-hmm. It's not just for rural areas, but people that are trying to, you know, raise a family and continue to go to work, but think they have something occurring and need some medical opinions and diagnosis, and you know, availing themselves of telemedicine would hopefully increase productivity and convenience for that patient.
I find it fascinating. We live in metro areas or suburban areas, but for those folks, as you say, who are in the hinterlands, it's certainly something that sounds like it's needed. Let's move to Prop 7. This is something that the Texas voters said that they would do, and that is to divert money specifically for highway funding. And what were you at, $7 billion, is that right? Or $5
billion? $5 billion.
Yep.
Over this last plan.
Now, I know that you have questioned now, where are we in this process? Because bucks are hard to find this year in Austin.
Well, Prop 7 was passed overwhelmingly by the people of Texas. I think over 80% of people voted positively for Prop 7 because we realize that a growing state needs transportation modalities and highways to get from point A to point B and move goods from point A to point B. And so it was a pressing concern and continues to be a pressing concern at the state of Texas, and I was a proponent of it and voted for it on the Senate floor and believe it was the right approach and still do. But that said, it does dedicate money from sales tax, which is the major revenue source of the state of Texas, to transportation. And the way it does it is after $28 million of sales tax, the next five the next $5 million is actually dedicated to transportation. And so that delta, that $5 billion, is not there this time around to spend on other portions of the budget. And so how do we move forward in Texas fashioning a budget that meets those priorities of the state of Texas? You know, transportation priorities have been met, but there are other priorities, health care, education, criminal justice, that also need to be met. And so one way that in times in which budgets are tight, like this session, you, with a 60% vote of both chambers, you can actually stop the appropriation to transportation of that money, and it flows back into your general checking book called the general revenue source, and you can actually use it for whatever portion of the budget you think is appropriate. It was a stopgap measure that was our stout valve measure that was put in place when the bill was passed because of the realization that in the future there might be tough times that you'd want that money for various aspects of the budget. I was just asking questions about it on the dais about where we were and the exact provisions of the law that allow appropriators like myself the tools necessary to fashion a budget for the state.
State Senator Charles Brennan joining us this morning. On the other side of the Capitol, I believe the House Finance Committee has already started talking about rainy day fund. Any of that talk over in the Senate?
Nope. There's no talk about rainy day fund on the Senate side. You know, the governor came out pretty strongly against it in the State of the State speech. You know, the rainy day fund is an important savings account in the state of Texas that is there to keep our credit rating very high and to be utilized in serious situations that are potentially unforeseen or to pay outstanding debts. You know, we either have a hurricane or some sort of significant federal regulations come down that mandate certain things that the state has to do. I think it's appropriate to have a very healthy rainy day balance. I think we can get through this session without opening up the rainy day fund or savings account and spending it on continuing needs. If we're going to spend the rainy day fund, it should be for one-time expenses or emergency expenses.
Well, with that in mind, tell me what you're hearing from your superintendents.
Well, you know, superintendents are rightly concerned about issues that affect their schools, and you know, obviously funding is one of them. Our funding system, school finance system, is ruled constitutional by the Supreme Court, but certainly lacking in a whole host of ways, one of which is how complex it is and how difficult it is to understand and fashion a school finance system that's right for all the 1,000-plus school districts in the state of Texas. You know, kind of a corollary of that is this issue of how do we provide school opportunities for those that are not being met by those school districts. We have over 500 schools that are failing in the state of Texas, and there are various special needs children that have needs that are not being met by a particular school district that might be better served in a different educational setting. And so, you know, this is a big priority of the Lieutenant Governor, allowing opportunity, what they call educational savings accounts, to avail themselves of the opportunity for success in education for very low-income children, families, and then also for children with special needs such as autism or developmental or intellectual disabilities.
Certainly. Finally today, what's on the agenda this week of import before we talk again next week?
Well, can you work through the budget? We're about wrapped up and about to go into work groups, so I look forward to helping out in any way I can, and probably will be helping significantly in the Health and Human Services work group and subgroup that will be appointed by Chair Nelson, I think, today or tomorrow. We have a number of pro-life bills that will be heard in the Health and Human Services Committee tomorrow concerning fetal tissue donation, as well as the banning of partial birth abortions in the state of Texas. That's already against federal law, partial birth abortions, but it's not against state law. So individuals that are still utilizing that heinous technique in the state can't be prosecuted in state courts. So I think that needs to be changed in the ability to prosecute various abortionists that are utilizing partial birth abortion procedures in Texas need to be prosecuted by state courts as well as the they can be prosecuted in, which is federal